Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning. I know the kids are upstairs, and it's a bit of a bummer that it rained, but they're still going to have a great time. If you have not invited a friend for these next 4 weeks, next 3 weeks after today, please do so. It's a great time to invite friends that have kids. But we're also jumping into a brand new series called, anybody know the name? Would you start with Hallelujah? Yes, Unexpected. Who is this man? So go ahead, Josh, put up the slide if you can. Unexpected, who is this man? It's a brand new series, so you're jumping in right from the beginning. But honestly, I'm going to try to make it that anytime someone comes, it's going to be like they can jump right into it. So here's a question for you, right off the bat. What does it take to change the world? What does it take to change the world? Jesus, Holy Spirit, prayer. There's a lot of things we could say. What I want to do in these series, I want to open our eyes to probably maybe some things that you've never thought of. So it's interesting. A lot of people live and they want to be remembered for generations. We have this thing now called what? Influencers. Influencers want to influence the world. There's tens of thousands of influencers that are all trying to make their mark in the world. But it's interesting. I don't know if you knew this or not. History has a way of forgetting us, right? Here, I'll prove it to you. How many remember Henry Clay? Raise your hand if you remember Henry Clay. Anything about Henry Clay? Have you ever even heard the word Henry Clay? So listen, 200 years ago, he was one of the most famous men in America. They called him the Great Compromiser. He ran for president 3 times. I'm not sure if that's a good thing, but anyway, he ran for president 3 times, and many believed he would become one of America's greatest leaders. Today, outside of a history lesson, if you even get it, very people have ever heard of his name. And yet 200 years ago, he was the most popular guy at the time. Here's another one, Daniel Webster. No, he did not create the Webster Dictionary. Daniel Webster was America's most celebrated, 200 years ago, public speaker. Newspapers across the nation covered his speeches. He was regarded as one of the greatest constitutional lawyers in American history. Yet how many of us have ever heard of Daniel Webster? Was that the same guy you were thinking of? No. Dictionary guy. That's Noah Webster. I looked it up because I wasn't sure. It's funny. These two people were some of the most prominent people 200 years ago. We've never even heard of their names. It's incredible. Chances are, you know, our family, my kids and grandkids, hopefully great-grandkids will remember me. But let's be real. I have a hard time remembering my great-great-grandfather and grandmother's name. So what does it take to transform the world? I'm going to keep coming back to that question. This is the thing. Because here's the unexpected part. Here's the thing. People who change history do it through power. They lead nations. They command armies. They build empires. They make groundbreaking discoveries. They accumulate wealth and influence. Correct? Think of people that you do remember. Napoleon, Hitler, Trump. Giggle, giggle. Who else do you remember? Name a name.
Churchill.
Lenin Stalin. These are people, Lenin Stalin, that have done things, that they have amassed power, wealth, they have conquered nations. Alexander the Great, all these people. Here's the thing that we're going to talk about. Jesus had none of them. Jesus had not one thing. I want you to keep coming back to this point because I've been going there and I'm actually, I'm perplexed. I'm dumbfounded. I'm in awe. I want you, because most people in here, almost everybody in here, you're saved. You know Jesus. If you don't, I hope you get to know him a lot better. I want you for a minute to take away even the fact that he's the Son of God, that as we know him, And I want you to try to put yourself in different shoes that you have no idea about this man, Jesus. And as I talk about the changes that he's made in this world, I hope you get a marvel in you, an awe. Because this is the thing. He never ruled a nation. He never commanded an army. He never wrote a book. And yet there are millions of books written about him. More than any other man, the Bible included, but books in general, more than any other person in the world, they've been written about him. Never held public office. You know, the only time he actually went up against somebody? Do you know what that was? Barabbas. Not Barabbas. Was it Barabbas at the cross? And he lost the election. And they crucified Jesus. It was Barabbas, right? Thank you. Never published writings, never traveled worldwide. He actually only went 150 miles away from his house. He was only a carpenter. He never owned a home. He died a criminal. And yet you're going to find that man, Jesus, whether you think, most people in here do, believe he's the Son of God, he actually has radically transformed the world we live in. So much so, you would be amazed if we took Jesus out of the equation, we would actually be horrified of what our world would look like. You really would. Anybody ever see the series called The Man in the High Castle? Anybody ever even heard of it? It's this interesting series where people are in a world where America did not win World War II and the Allies. It was actually Japan and Hitler that won. And it's this whole series about what the world would look like. California and the West Coast is all run by the Japanese, and rest of the world, or North America, is predominantly run by the Germans. And you get this view of what it would look like if that event was not won by the Americans and the Allies. And you kind of watch it. It's crazy because it's like, oh my gosh, this is what the world could look like. And you even have the whole premises of the story is that somebody finds a film reel of the Americans winning the war and what America looked like. And they're like, oh my gosh, like, is this another reality? Is this what it could be? And in some ways, I want to try to do that. I want to sit for today and hopefully the next few weeks. And I want you to look at the unexpected. Who is this man, Jesus, that changed the world? You good with that? Sure, that's good. Let me tell you a few things. Let me give you just a few examples. If you were to wake up in a world that never had Jesus, women, based on culture before and when Jesus came, you would have never most likely have had a job. Women have become lawyers, politicians. Women have become anything that they have dreamt of, that would not have happened. Women actually would have no status in this world, or very low status in this world, if Jesus never came. Curtis, who we love, if you don't know Curtis, you know, Curtis claps on cue. Curtis helps all of us clap on cue, because we listen for Curtis, we can hear him clapping when the glory gets higher. I swear, I shouldn't swear in church, but I promise you. And it's interesting, because back in the day, if Curtis was around, he wouldn't be around. Back to women, you may not realize this, but in the time of Jesus, when in that era, they say that there was 1.4 million men to less than 1 million women. Because women were not esteemed. Here's another thing maybe you didn't know if you've ever read history. I did not understand this, but in that time frame, up until that time frame, throughout cultures, especially in the Roman world, they actually didn't name their child for a while. They had a time period, and you know, some say it was around the 8 days, but they had a time period where they were deciding whether they'd keep the child or not. They would actually be looking at this child to see if it had any deformities. First of all, they'd look at the gender, and they would look at the quality, and if they did not feel like this was a quality child, they would put it out into the elements, and they would die of exposure. That was the world. That was not like, oh, how could they do that? That was like normal. They have writings from different people that have been passed down, and it would say the one gentleman, he was a commander in the army, and he wrote back to his wife, and he said, you know, basically my paraphrase is, you know, honey, so glad you're about to be due, you know, and remember, if it's his son, we rejoice, protect him, keep him, and if it's a daughter, let her go and be exposed. We have a hard time thinking of a world that would look like that. Those that are disabled would not be esteemed. Here's some different things. And it's hard for us to remember, but this is also the day and age of the gladiators, right? Where they would gather and they would have brutal, brutal competitions and things. Life had very little value, especially if you were not of power, if you were not of wealth. Your life did not mean a whole lot. So you had these gladiator games, you had these moments where horrific things happened, but that was normal. Mercy was weakness. If you read any of the writings back in the day, if you had mercy, you were showing weakness. Strength and power is what mattered. Money. Like, this was the world that they lived in. I want you to think for a minute. A carpenter is born. He's born and becomes a carpenter 2,000 years ago. And he has transformed. Whether you believe he's the Son of God or not, he's transformed this world and continues to transform this world. You only have to look at cultures that do not believe or have never allowed Jesus in, and you will get a visual of what it would look like. And there's a lot you can read about right now in cultures that are trying to expand, and you will see the value they have towards those that are disformed, those that have, they're not intellectually capable. All these things, you will see how they value women. You will see how they value children. Did you realize in that culture, like I said, children, doesn't matter if they did survive, they had very little value because they were there for work or they were there to be in the army. It's incredible how much our world has changed. Gets you thinking, doesn't it? One more question. This is how much the world has changed. Raise your hand if you have ever forgiven somebody that has ought you and you've chosen to love them anyway. Raise your hand. You know, that was never considered in Jesus' time before Jesus. You didn't forgive, you revenged. See, we live in a world, and I want to say it this way, I've never thought about it, because we often think, he says, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we're often praying, Lord, bring your kingdom. Did you know that all around us we see the effects of the kingdom? Now, of course, we are waiting for the full kingdom to come. But until I began to study this, I never realized how much his kingdom is already here. Because when you chose, and there are a lot of people that don't go to church that have chosen to turn the other cheek. They wouldn't even know why that's something, but they're like, you know what? I should just forgive this person and go on. They are saying kingdom words and they don't even know it. Because his kingdom has already begun and has begun and is seriously overlaying this world. Now, I'm sure you're all thinking at that moment, well, all these things are coming back. My premise would be this. The more Jesus we let, or the more people allow Jesus to be removed from society, isn't it amazing we begin to resort back to the things that they used to do? Right? The elderly in Jesus's time had very little. They actually, I didn't know this, if you were widowed as a woman, you actually got taxed more because you put a burden on society. You were expected to marry within 2 years. I think so. Oh, I'm sorry, healing, Lord. I'll keep going back to it. This is unexpected that we don't realize how much our world has changed. I hope it makes you stand in awe, because it makes me stand in awe. Here's my disclaimer before. Because if you're like me, I can think of when if I was in your seat, I would begin to tell you, I can tell you all these things that Christians got wrong. And I would say, yes, you're exactly right. Throughout history, and this is the way I want to phrase it, when Jesus came, he planted seeds that have taken 2,000 years to come to fruition. But if you look at history, little by little, the seeds that he planted began to take root. And now some of them are fully, fully formed. For example, women. How long did it take after Jesus? And I'm not going to have you turn to there today, but Paul actually declares there is nor Greek, remember this saying? Nor Jew, male nor female, barbarian nor Scythian. All of these are the same or one in Christ. You know, it's taken 2,000 years for that scripture to come to pass, and we're still in process. So I can look through history because I'll talk about slavery at some point. And the sad part is Christians were some of the ones that wanted it, and Christians were also the ones that fought against it. We have this ugliness throughout it. So I will tell you firsthand, we are not the innocent ones that made everything perfect. But it has been this weaving. And that's what makes me excited to think Jesus' kingdom continues to come and come and come. Which makes me wonder, if you were reading all this and you looked and you thought, man, healings don't happen like we want them to, right? Right? We know that Jesus says healing, that's part of the kingdom. But you know, women didn't have rights either for a long time, and now they do. Is it possible that the kingdom just continues to come and unfold? Right? And is it possible that one day people will read about in history books, they prayed and they didn't fully believe miracles could happen? Is it possible? Come on, dream with me a little bit. That they will one day go, man, look at the miracles that we have today, because there has been more of the kingdom that has come and more understanding, and they see miracles to a greater level in 100 years. You're like, there's a man by the name of Martin Luther, King Jr. Remember when he was speaking at the White House or on the grounds? I can't remember the name of the grounds. He said something. I wanted to look it up. I did not plan on going here today, and this is a little off script. I didn't realize that when he was saying something that actually everybody started to amen. They were like, he said something about the righteous, and people were amening. It said it like it felt like a church service, and he stopped. And I don't know who it was, but they said, tell him the dream. And that's when he went into his famous lines. I have a dream that one day all men will be created equal. He literally had a dream, and he speaks this out over the crowd, and yet they were not equal. And yet how many years later do we look and we see more equality than we've ever seen, and hopefully more will come. So that's why I say, is it possible in 100 years from now, miracles will become more common than ever before? That's what we have to dream about, amen? So you got this carpenter. We got this culture that is not good with women. You know, there's no status for children. There's no status for the deformed, the disabled, the leopards. There is revenge. There is not mercy. And you get a carpenter from the town of Nazareth. Like, we got to put this all together. Like, this is a nobody. This is nobody. We know him as the Son of God. They do not know this person. That's why they're like, what good can come out of Nazareth? Like, come on, seriously. You want me to turn and follow this man and become a follower of a guy that was a carpenter that now claims, I guess, to be a rabbi? You want me to follow him? And then he says lines like this. Okay. Do you get the culture? Am I painting that picture? And then he yells out in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor. Wait a minute. The poor are not blessed. We are not blessed. What is he talking about? Blessed are the meek. Love your enemies. Like, who is this guy? I am sure when we talk about scriptures, like the one that comes to mind, this is my body and this is my blood, and most of the disciples turn and leave. I am sure that was probably the largest unfollowing the most uninfluential moment he had. Hey, you're going to take my body. It's like you're going to become cannibals. But I'm sure at moments like this, love your enemies. They're like, this guy's nuts. Forgive those who wrong you. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Those weren't just sayings. That was a revolution. And what he was doing and what we want to look at, this unexpected message that he brought, this man that nobody knew, has reshaped the entire world for the nations that have embraced it and is continuing 2,000 years later to reshape. You think about it for a minute. Most people that die, they fade. The things that they have done fade. And yet Jesus died and his influence increased. Think about the art world. Think about the music world. I did not know this. Did you know that the notes that we have that are created for the music, that came from Christians? Because they were singing songs and they had to try to, this was a monastery and the monks, and they had to try to find a way. How do we share our songs and how do we exchange these? It was Christians that developed that. Education, did you realize that Christians had a value because Jesus began to teach all? And they had such a value for it that they began to have schools and they began to have education. And our universities were created first by Christians. Yale, Harvard, a whole slew of them. Hospitals. Hospitals, when they began to realize, but do you know this is, it wasn't that they thought it was a good idea. They watched Jesus care for the least of them. And because he cared for the least of them, and they began to think about it, they began to go, wait a minute, the least of them around us are those that have infirmities. Maybe we should actually care for them. Because Jesus said what? If you care for them, it's like you're caring for me. Gosh, guys, this is so revolutionary. Even Jesus' followers, before this message became big, would cast people into the street. That's just, you just go out to die. That's why when you look at all those people that were by the water, the pool that got stirred, the pool of Bethesda, that's why they gathered there, because nobody else wanted them. And then Jesus began to go, take care of the least of these, you take care of me. And they began to take them in. That's why in monasteries and different places, that's where the first hospice came to be about, which became hospitals. But this is a carpenter. A carpenter that began to teach things like today that sounds so extraordinary, and yet most of these things are still part of our culture and we don't even realize it. Like, that's just incredible. Who is this man? Whew. Turn to Mark. Turn to Mark 10. Let's get a scripture in here. In Mark 10, verse 13. So as we've painted this picture, understand the way we see children is not the way they see children. We see a little child run in and we light up with the joy that they have. We light up with the energy that they have. We even light up sometimes, or let me put it another way, we sometimes stop what we're doing to focus on this child. And in Jesus' day, that was unheard of. So in that type of atmosphere, in Mark 10, verse 13, we have this. It says, then they brought the children to him that he might touch them. So the people brought the children, but his disciples rebuked them who brought them. When Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. And he took them up in his arms and he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. We read through these, and I want us over the next couple weeks to stop And to realize in that moment, he brought another culture to earth. And because of that, today, our kids live a very different life. Again, if you just want to marvel at this, look at other cultures that do not value Jesus, other religions that have no use, and you will see a picture of what it used to look like. Children were to be seen at best and not heard. And we have this beautiful thing, and he's like, he actually gets angry with the disciples. Whoa. He was greatly displeased. He said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. And in that moment, he set a new standard that for 2,000 years we've been building on. Kids are important. They're valuable. Here's the crazy thing. They would leave, like I said, children into the elements to die. And Christians that began to hear these words about how important children were and do not let them, like, don't let them forbid to come to me. And you know what they began to do, right? They would leave them out. The Christians would go and pick them up, which created the first orphanages. And then it became to a point before this was outlawed, because eventually it becomes outlawed. They would start having children. If they didn't want them, the wives would sneak them to the orphanages and give them up. 2,000 years, slowly but surely letting the kingdom of God invade the earth. Here's another scripture. Turn to Matthew 18. As you're turning to Matthew 18, verse 2, I just want to say children were seen as an interruption. Jesus saw them as an invitation. He invited them. The disciples thought they were too insignificant to bother the Messiah, and Jesus stopped everything for them. People didn't tolerate children. He embraced them. In Matthew 18, we have this scripture. It says, then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and he said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child or little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself in this little, like this little child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Again, I want to tell you that words that are being spoken here are like complete gibberish. It would be like me coming in and I say something so profound, but it's against God, that you'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. That's the type of thing that they were saying. What do you mean become like a child? We don't value children. But the value of children was completely elevated. Let's do one more before. It's 11:25 already. Turn to... Let's do this. Turn to Luke 10. Let's do Luke 10, verse 38. This is a story that we know well. This is Mary and Martha, okay? So what I want to do is transition to women. It's really interesting that religion continues to want to keep women down, right? And yet Jesus was one of the greatest champions of women. Jesus had an interesting challenge because he still lived as a Jew in Jewish culture. He still had to live under that culture, but he would elevate women to a level unseen. Women to actually travel with men was unheard of. For women to carry a message and to speak this message was unheard of. And yet when Jesus died and was resurrected, who's the first person he talked to? Mary, a woman. And what did he say? Go tell the men. We don't realize that this is counterculture. He is shifting culture. He once again is a carpenter. Just imagine on the day he died, they're like, well, we put our hope in the wrong person yet again. We thought he was the Messiah, and they walked away. Interesting enough, all the disciples ran away. Who stayed at the cross? The women. We have this story, Mary and Martha. Luke 10, verse 38. It says, now it happened as they went to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who was sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Mary was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. I would describe it like this. You know, when men grill back, you know, it's still common today, but as men used to grill, all the men would gather around the barbecue. We'd sit and grill while the women would go do something else in the house and cut things. We take this scripture to think, oh, it's about serving. What we don't realize is that Mary was actually choosing to be a man at that point in the sense of sitting at the feet of Jesus like a disciple. Disciples were men. I can't even imagine what that would have been like for Mary to go, you know what? I know it's important for me to serve. I know it's important for that. And that's normally what we do, but I can't get enough of this guy. I choose to go around the grill with the men. I'm sure all the men are sitting there, huh? Who are you? What are you doing here, Mary? Get out of here. Right? You know, all the men would try to like squeeze her out as they're barbecuing. And yet she goes there and sits at the feet of Jesus as a disciple. And when questioned, Jesus goes, hey, everything's changing from now on. Mary's choosing to be a disciple. She's choosing to be at my feet. From this day forward, it's all changed. You are sitting here in church next to your husband because of Jesus. You are able to glean and teach and understand because of Jesus, this man that even atheists cannot deny, this man changed the world, right? Like, we live in an altered world because of a man that right now I'm just painting him as a man. I'm going to go into the Son of God. I'm just trying to get you to understand as a man and the words that he spoke, he altered this world. My daughters dream of things, and I've never had to say, no, honey, women don't do that. I'm also grateful because of my mom, I've never had to go, hey, if you want to become a minister, more power to you. But when my mom was thinking about that, she was like, this is a man's club. Can I do this? Jesus said, you got to do it. She said, I don't know if I want to, but you got to. And she did. So even in just short 60, 70 years, this has been overturning. Yet again, the kingdom of God coming more upon the earth. So we are being taught, which I want you to stop, the world is getting worse. No, the kingdom of God is continuing to advance. Whether people want to realize it or not, even if it goes through little bits of turmoil, gosh, read your history books. You know how many ebbs and flows there were? Let me, as I close, I said something a few moments back. I said 2,000 years ago. Did you know our calendar that everyone follows almost in the entire earth is built off of the timeline and the birth of Jesus? Didn't happen right away, but around, I think it was 500-600 AD, a monk began to decide, you know what, he put this idea forward, because up until that point, everything was based on the emperor at the time. That's why if you read history books, even in the Bible, it would say in the 15th year of our emperor, in the 15th year of so-and-so, or the 40th year. But when this calendar came out, it began to be in the 1900th year of our Lord and King. So even people like Hitler would be considered to be born in the year of our Lord, our King. Our time has been altered by a man named Jesus. And even if you're an atheist, you cannot deny the influence that he's had. I find it so ironic that one that tries to stamp out Jesus would still be told that they were born in the Lord our King, whatever the date is. So as we go through this series, I think it's completely unexpected and astounding the change that he has made on this earth. And the question I would have for anybody that's here that maybe does not think about Jesus a whole lot, it's interesting that we live under this kingdom already. The question is, do you actually know the King? And maybe you know of the King, but how well do you know the King? Because the benefits that we have in Canada and America and in Europe are because of a man that was a carpenter that died at the age of 33. I'm 52 years old trying to make a difference with 120 people. And he's 30 years old, 33, and dies as a carpenter. And his legacy continues to change the world. Isn't that incredible? It's astounding. And what people don't realize, of course, is because he is the Son of God. And I really believe if they fully understood that, they would have a hard time going, okay, there's got to be something different about this man. Because I looked up a lot of other men. And as many books as have been written about them, from Hitler, Napoleon, Alexander the Great, Stalin, we don't have monasteries all over the world built to these people. But we do to Jesus. People gather all over the world around this time to honor Jesus. Who is this man? Well, he's not a man. Amen. Why don't you stand? I love the fact Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Maybe you're not visual like me. Krista, my wife, always says, I don't have that imagination that you have. I literally sit and I wonder with the culture and the way things looked, what it must have been like when he shared these words. You gotta think there were people mocking, giggling, poor. Jesus, I don't know, you know, wealthy. We're going for wealth. Forgive? We don't forgive. We have revenge. Must have been incredible. I am so glad I was born in 1974. First of all, we got to live through the 80s. We drank water out of hoses. We didn't wear helmets. We didn't get texts at all. I had to be home by what time? When the streetlights were on. There's so many people now that like long for those days. Crystal, I'll be home when the lights come on the streets. But you know what I'm more grateful for? That the influence of the kingdom of where we're at today. There should be a few more amens. And I'm excited to see, even as the years go. See, this is why, I'll end with this, and then we'll pray. This is why if anybody asks me, one time I would have been on board. You know, we need to take over culture. We need to take over. And there's a place that we always have to be doing our civic duty. But I have come to realize throughout history, history is not changed just because leaders come into power, because it's an ebb and flow. Things change when hearts change. When more and more people come to know Jesus, they simply do not want things to be the same. We need to keep fighting for laws to be changed, but we need to keep honoring the children that we have and keep showing that there's a better way. Loving people to help them find the better way. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you for who you are. And I thank you, Lord, I'll say it for me. I thank you that you are opening my eyes to see how much this world is different because of who you are. Lord, I ask for all of us that we would come to know who you are in a deeper way. Even as Andrea opened, somebody that would know us so personally that when we get tired of routine, that you would simply bring an encounter another way because you know us and you love us. That's how she started. And I say, thank you, Father God, that you know us by name. It says that you know every hair or lack of on our heads. You know us. And so, Lord, I thank you for knowing me. I thank you for changing this world. I thank you for your kingdom coming. And Lord, I pray that we would come to know you in this series in a deeper way. Everyone said.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.